Well, as I'm sure you've noticed by now, that my height is the same as Magic Johnson. So if you haven't seen him in person, yeah, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. As we read this text this morning, we saw that the star was mentioned four times in the text. Yet, what I'm going to share with you this morning, I doubt that too many of you, if any, have noticed this before. How many of you have seen the video of the Star of Bethlehem? Okay, one. That's good. I've seen it, watched it six times, and every time I learned something new. Not that I really want to promote that excessively, but it did help me to understand the text, our text this morning, a little bit better. And of course, to magnify, it magnifies God, because he placed his message in the stars from the beginning of time. Actually, before time as we know it. When he spoke the stars into existence, he put the story of Jesus' conception, birth, and death in the stars. And we won't, since we read the text this morning earlier, you can just read it on your own there. We won't take the time to go over it again. Actually, there's a lot I wanted to show you. Has anyone here slept outside at night? And I mean, like, without a tent? I've done it a few times. Mostly, though, it's been in a tent. And so, I was in Boy Scouts, also Scoutmaster for a year. So we did a lot of camping out. It's okay to study the stars. It's called astronomy. It's not okay to use the zodiac. It's not okay to use astrology. Those things have to do with the occult, those things that are against God. And you want to stay away from it. Just last Monday, we were in Kaohsiung with a pastor and his wife. And the pastor took us to a park to show us around, but everything was closed because of a holiday. But there was a woman selling stuff, and she came up, and I asked her, well, what's inside? What is it? And she said, well, come over here, and I'll show you. All this was in Chinese, of course. And then... She opened a box and placed a coin, actually several coins, small coins, in my hand. Immediately, the pastor with us, he recognized what it was, took them out, gave them back to her, and we walked away quickly. She was a fortune teller. That night, when I went to sleep, I laid there and looked at our rock salt lamp, and I saw a demonic face in the lamp. I thought, boy, it's the first time that's happened. So if the lamp was here, I turned it, just couldn't see anything. And I prayed in Jesus' name that with Jesus' blood, he would cleanse my hand and my heart, and haven't had any problems since then. Stay away from that kind of stuff, the occultic, astrology, zodiac, anything like that. God says, do not do that kind of thing. He does want us to study the stars, though. Let's look at... I'm going to do something different this morning because I think you're more probably educated than our Taiwanese congregation. And so quickly open your Bible to Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 26. And when someone gets that passage, would you mind standing up and reading it for us, please? Isaiah 40, 26. Isaiah 40, 26. Okay, just 26, that's fine, thank you. How about Job chapter 9, verse 9? We saw in 40:26 that God created the starry host and named them. He knows the hairs on our head, each one of us, and he knows us by name. Job 9:9.
Job 9:9. Who makes the bear, Orion, and the Pleiades?
Okay. Bear, Orion, Pleiades. Maybe you recognize at least two of those, and maybe there's a constellation also called the Bear. But stars are formed in groups called constellations. These constellations God named Orion. There is still Orion and Pleiades. There is still a constellation named Pleiades. So, you can't make this stuff up. God's word is true. And we need to believe it and study it. There were a lot of people that studied God's word. Maybe you remember the book of Daniel. The prophet Daniel was taken captive into Babylon, which is east of Israel. And in the east, they studied the stars as one of the disciplines that they learned. They were called, well, we call them today the wise men. and they were. But they studied the stars and they studied the Jewish scriptures, so that they were prepared when they saw what happened in the skies. They were prepared to go to Israel and find the new king who was born. If you remember the text that we read, they said, "We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Well, who's going to worship a Jewish king? Directly west of Babylon is Israel. Who's going to do that? Probably someone who is a Jew. Now, Daniel died many years before, approximately 500 years before this event. In the year 1609, there was a German named Johannes Kepler who published mathematical equations, which today we still use 400 years later. There are a few minor modifications. I think Einstein added a few things, but not much, very little. And that is NASA in the United States, Russia, China, whoever sends spacecraft into space, they use Johannes Kepler's numbers. Okay, well, there's a program, a software program called Starry Night, and it shows you exactly where every star is or was from any point on Earth at any time in history. It's not an approximate location. It's an exact, because it's mathematically done. That's why they use it, because we know where the stars will be and where they have been. You see, from the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, it's like a giant clock Everything moves the same pattern. Now, there are exceptions, and we'll get to that a little bit later. The Bible gives us permission to study the stars as a science. It does not give us permission to get into the astrology or all that kind of... Actually, we could probably call it idolatry. We're not to revere or worship the stars. In Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 to 4, God says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day the stars speak. Night after night the stars display knowledge." Their voice. Oh, there is no language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. You know, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter used this text when they argued with the Jewish people. Both of them argued from a point of view which showed that... Well, for example, let's look at Acts Acts chapter 2, verse 17 to 22. This is Peter speaking. It says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people." And it goes down verse 19, "I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke." Verse 20, "The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord." The moon will be turned to blood. Actually, that's called a blood moon. Still in use today. It's a lunar eclipse where, let's say, this is the earth, here's the moon, here's the sun. The earth blocks the sun's rays from hitting the earth. From hitting the moon. And so as the sun's rays refract around the earth, our atmosphere turns it a red color. And so that's why we call it a blood moon, because the moon looks reddish color. And that happened. We know when that happened at any point in history because of Johannes Kepler's numbers. You know... stars normally rise in the east and move to the west. Normally, there are exceptions. Astronomers know these things. King Herod, when he asked, "When you find him, let me know too, so I can come and worship him." But, of course, we all know that he didn't want to worship him. He wanted to murder him. Historically speaking, the same thing happened about 60 years earlier. We can read that someone said they thought there was a new king born. So the king in power went and killed all the baby boys in that region for the exact same reason. And that's why the scripture says Herod sent his troops to the area of Bethlehem and killed all 2-year-old boys and younger. He didn't want a new king. He wanted to remain in power. So I guess politically speaking, nothing has changed. But God can change our hearts. Let's look at our first. I have four slides prepared. If we could go to the first slide. Yeah, there we are. These are constellations marked out for us to see. In the middle is Leo the lion. Now, if you look at Genesis 49, verse 9 and 10, you'll see that Judah, the tribe of Judah, is described as a lion, a lion's cub. And so that's why the wise men knew when they saw the things that were happening in this constellation. There are two bright dots up there under the front leg of the lion. The top dot is the planet Jupiter. The bottom is the star Regulus. The planet Jupiter has always been known as the king planet. The king planet. The star Regulus has also been known as the king star. Regulus, I believe it's Latin for regal. The Babylonians called it Sharu, which is king. And there were other languages, countries, people groups that called him by the name king. This is what the wise men saw. And as the planet Jupiter, it moved from top to bottom. Then it went back up a second time and passed over again the star Regulus. And then a third time it went back down. That was a very unusual event, and the wise men knew it. Because they saw in the stars that a new king had been born from the tribe of Judah. And that's why they went 700 miles by camelback to the land of Israel. And they searched for the newborn king, Jesus. The scriptures also tell us of this picture. If you want to look at, I think it's Revelation 12:1. John is describing a vision that he saw. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Skipping down to verse 5, she gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. This constellation that you can see is Virgo, the Virgin. This is what they saw in the sky. This is, I believe, what John saw. That bright white spot at the top of, or near the top of Virgo, is the sun. And down at her feet is the moon. Friends, no one except God controls the stars. These things were written thousands of years ago. Different continents, different writers. God put it all together in this book that we hold dear called the Bible. His story is both from Scripture and the stars. And so this is what happened the way the stars were when Jesus was born. But there was another event that soon followed this, and that is, let's go to the next slide. This actually is a little clip here. I wanted us to see this. Remember I told you about the planet Jupiter and, the star Regulus. Well, Jupiter moved over and combined with the planet Venus. Back then, they couldn't discern that it was two planets, two stars they were seeing. It looked like one, and it was the brightest star that anyone had ever seen. And it is the star, Jupiter, that moved to Bethlehem and stopped. Now, can a star stop? No. The stars are stopped all the time. It's the earth that is rotating on its axis and revolving around the sun. And so that is what scientists call retrograde motion, where things, stars, planets appear to move back and forth contrary to normal motion. Retrograde motion, that's how it's explained. So God used the normal creation, normal pattern, to get things the way he wanted them and to show his picture in a star. So let's start this video.
An observation back then was all naked eye observation. They had no lenses. So I'm gonna zoom in because I'm gonna show you guys, kind of take you on the secret of what's happening here. They couldn't zoom, but we can, so I'm gonna zoom in way again. So if I get those two objects separated, one of them's Jupiter, the other one's another planet. You're gonna tell me which one, too. Then from Mars, then from Venus, that's the other planet. Venus is some other planet. So we have Jupiter, the king planet, and Venus, the mother planet, coming into very close conjunction. This is kind of great, isn't it?
Yes. So we can see that they're actually the two planets that they saw, Jupiter and Venus, which moved over, guided them to Bethlehem. Even though some people don't believe what the Scripture says, the Scripture is still true. The star did guide them to Bethlehem, and it did stop. That's how they found Jesus, the newborn king. Why would someone come to worship a newborn baby that was, you know, a Jew? Well, probably Jewish people. What do we learn from this Bible story? We learned that the stars told the Magi about the birth of a king from Judah and Israel. We learned that the planet Jupiter rose from the east and moves towards the west, generally speaking. It would have led the Magi to Bethlehem, where it stopped to change direction. Number three, we learned that God was using the normal pattern of the stars to convey his message over a very long period of time. A reasonable person could conclude that Jupiter was a star which guided the wise men of Bethlehem to Jesus, the newborn king of the Jews. If you can accept what I've shared this morning, then you too have heard the stars speak. But you know, the signs in the sky don't stop with the conception and birth of Jesus. They continue on. And actually, I don't know if the scriptures tell us what exactly will happen in the stars, in the skies, when Jesus returns. But they do tell us that, yes, there will be signs in heaven. So he's going to let us know. And everyone will know when Jesus returns. But there's something that happened after. Jesus was conceived and after he was born. In fact, when Jesus died, we can see that in the stars, in the skies. The scripture says when Jesus died, the moon turned to blood, it turned red. Well, I'm going to show you what they saw the day Jesus was crucified. So if we can go to that slide. You see, the moon is back underneath the constellation Virgo. But this time it's a blood moon. Jesus was nailed to the cross at 3 p.m., the Bible tells us. Now the moon was beneath the horizon at that time. But can you guess what time the lunar eclipse started? Yes, you can, at 3 p.m. is when it started. You think it's coincidence? You think incorrectly. You're wrong. That's wrong. It's because there is nothing that happens by accident with God. He has planned all things well. Your life and mine, he knows us inside and out. He knows us by name, just like he says he knows the stars by name. I heard the story this past week of a 16-year-old girl who climbed up to the fourth floor and jumped. Now, God protected her life. She didn't die. Your life is precious. If you want to lose your life, if you think, and I know you will at some time in your life, you will feel absolutely worthless and hopeless. And that's when you need to turn to God. Actually, you need to turn to God at any time. But you can turn to God during those times. He will meet your need. He will help you. A couple years ago when we were in China, we read, you may or may not have heard about it, but up in the Northeast, there were a lot. I don't know, I think there were 16 of them. There were a lot of workers in a factory that committed suicide. We don't need to do this. That's not what God wants. God wants to live through your life. And in fact, the scripture says, when we become a Christian, our old man, our old self, our flesh, our that part of us that is in rebellion against God was nailed to the cross. Oh, was the cross right there? It was nailed to the cross, so we died with Christ. Galatians 2:20. Anyone remember that? Yeah. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. It's not physically, but spiritually, it happened. And so, you want to die? Okay. Accept God's way of dying to sin and live for God. That is acceptable worship to God when we do that. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? He didn't do anything wrong. He never sinned once. Well, God planned it that way. From before time began. In our thinking, it's very limited. But when God created the heavens and the earth, he put the story of Jesus' conception, birth, and death in the stars from the beginning of time. It's always been there and always will be until God burns everything up. God had to be satisfied. He had to be, there had to be a mediator between God and man. And so God provided that perfect sacrifice, that perfect mediator, that go-between. Everyone, China, Taiwan, everyone needs that mediator when there's some buhaquanxi, when there's bad relationship. We need that go-between person to kind of like smooth things over and help us out. God used that same type of person in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. For man to have a good relationship with God, the Bible says, God says, that we must believe that Jesus died for my sin, for our sin, for the sins of the whole world. But there's one step further, and that's where many people stop before they get to that step. I've talked to numerous people, like in Taiwan. Oh, I believe in the gods, plural. Unfortunately, God said, well, fortunately, God does say, no, he's the only God, the only true and real God. Everything else is false. Everything else, like the idols, they can't speak. They can't hear. They can't move. And those who make them become like them, the scripture says. We must receive, as John 1:12 says, receive Jesus into our life. And then God gives us the right to become and to be called his child. We can look at John chapter 3, verse 16 to 18, and see why God sent Jesus to be born in the world. Or I can read my tie, the first four words in Chinese, Shanai Shuren. John 3, 16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And I might add, through him alone. There is no other way. No matter what you may say or think or read, Jesus is the only way to God, to know him, to know God. You must come through Jesus Christ. And in verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. It's very clear. No explanation needed here. You say, well, God's not love. Yes, he is. God is love. But God is also holy and righteous. And because he is God, and because God created the heavens and the earth, he can do what he wants. There is nothing wrong with what he says here. Now, we often want to disobey the laws. For example, driving a car at or under the speed limit. We just think that we can do different. Well, with God, it ain't going to work. You got to do it God's way. If you look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, the last part of that verse, in certain translations, in other translations, it doesn't translate it the same way, but I like this translation. It says at the end of 13:8, the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. After seeing these signs in the stars, I understand that verse a little bit better, because God put his story in the stars, his death in the stars from the creation of the world. Wow. It just makes me worship God, just stand in awe of him, knowing this. The Magi understood the message from God. That's why they went to Israel. Can you understand and accept this message also? What does it mean for us today? Well, the basic meaning is that there is a God. The stars were part of his communication to those living in the Magi's day. It also means that God wants a relationship with you and has done many things to tell you that he does love you. When God called Moses into a closer relationship with himself, he used a natural event in a natural world. It wasn't a natural event, because Moses saw this burning bush, and yet the bush wasn't consumed by the flame. So Moses drew closer to learn a more complete message. When the Magi saw the signs in the heavens, they responded like Moses did. They drew near to learn more. The Star of Bethlehem is an invitation for people today to draw near to God. So the more complete message of the Christmas star is good news. Amen to that. Christ has come as Savior into the world. Jesus did pay the penalty for our sin. I always think one of the phrases Jesus said on the cross is, in the Greek, one word, tetelestai. We translate it as, it is finished. The meaning is the work of salvation began, well, it was completed on the cross in so much as Jesus died. It is done. But the effect of that work continues into all, into the future, so that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It is possible to have a good relationship with God if you do it God's way. If you try and do it your way, no, you will not have a good relationship with God. If you continually disobey your parents, are you going to have a good relationship? They tell you something. Maybe you can, since they're earthly parents, get away with disobeying them. But the best way to have a really good relationship with them is to obey, to do what they ask. Well, God wants to be your Heavenly Father, and many of you have already received Jesus as your Savior. But there may be some here who have not. They have resisted for whatever reasons. When you compare your reasons for resisting against the Word of God, you will see that they fall far short and are incomplete and lack real meaning, because God gives us meaning to life. To live is Christ, who is the one who gives us true life, not just a physical life in this body. That's not really our life. Our life is our spirit. And as a Christian, when this body ceases, stops, ends, we don't end or stop. Our spirit still lives. Eternal life is what God gives us. But as we read in the scripture, those who refuse to believe, you're going to receive eternal death, separation from God. Romans 3:23, the wages of sin is death. No, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for the ungodly. He died for the unrighteous. Now, if you think you're pretty good, you've done more bad than wrong. I mean, you've done more good than bad, more good than wrong things, or as I've heard before, well, I'm better than whoever over there. Or if you're counting, well, in fact, that makes me think here. I need to ask several questions here. Who is Jesus? Who is he? The answer to that question is important. If you were standing at the doorway of heaven and God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? How would you answer him? I've heard many answers. Most have to do with, well, doing good. I help in a church. I have done this or that. Is that a good answer? No, it's not. It's not what God wants. It's not what he told us to do from his word. Remember John 3:16-18? What did God say? Especially verse 18. It says, believe. God wants us to believe him and his word. And if you do that, you can begin and have a good relationship with God. God, through Jesus, wants to be king in your heart now. Through Jesus Christ, God is inviting you into a good relationship with himself. If you accept his invitation, Jesus promises to come and be with you. Now, if you would like to start that new relationship with God this morning, now, would you please just slip your hand up? If you would like to begin and have never before asked God to, how should we say it, come into your life as Lord and Savior. And you would like to do that this morning, to become a Christian, to have a good relationship with God. Would you please just hold up your hand? Okay. For those of you who have been Christian for any length of time, God's message to us is that we also worship Jesus, who is the promised Messiah, God in human flesh. God used the stars and scriptures to guide people to worship Jesus. God used a dream to protect Jesus. That is the one that he gave to Joseph to move to Egypt. Jesus is the reason we celebrate this period of time called Christmas. Honor Jesus in your hearts by walking in obedience to his word. Don't try and take advantage of other people like King Herod tried to take advantage of the Magi. One of the songs we sang this morning had in the chorus, consume me from the inside out. May God consume our hearts, our minds, to worship and follow him alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that you alone are God, that you created the heavens and the earth. Lord, we bow our hearts in submission to you, looking to you alone to meet our needs. May we trust you step by step, day by day. Thank you for putting your story in the stars. Thank you for giving us life eternal through Jesus Christ, a good relationship with you. And it's in Jesus' sweet name that we pray. Amen.